Hey, it's John Canzano. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. And thanks to all the listeners and all of our sponsors who help make the Bald-Faced Truth the number one sports radio show in Portland. Enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Sports covers recruiting, among other things. Does a great job. I want to ask him all about the Pac-12. I want to ask him about Chip Kelly. I want to ask him about the Oregon Ducks. I want to ask him about Oregon State. But most of all, I want to ask him, too, because I think he's living kind of a dream in covering college athletics and getting to write and report for a living. I want to ask him what that's like, and he joins us now. When did you want to do what you're doing, Preem?
Probably the first year after I was done with college, which was 2009, I couldn't find a job, and I was back at home living with my parents, and I was working at Cold Stone Creamery and doing something else, working another job just to pay bills and pay my student loans off, and started writing as a therapeutic way of just, you know, I got kind of down because that was when, you know, the job market was terrible, and I just needed to do something that was fun for me, and I just made it a point, I'm going to write about Oregon basketball and once a day, and it kind of grew into having an internship at a radio station here in town in Eugene. Somehow they found my blog and they liked it enough to have me come in and do some stuff for them, and that led to another thing, which led to another thing, and in 2009 I started doing this as a side job, and about 3 years ago is when I did it full time.
When you were working at Cold Stone, how yoked were your forearms?
They weren't very yoked because I'd always bring home ice cream for me and my roommates. And I would go from working at Cold Stone to working at the radio station. And you know, Justin Myers, he worked for you for a couple years, and he hated it because I'd come in and I'd make the studio smell like waffles, and it just make everyone hungry.
I go into Cold Stone, there'd be like a 16-year-old girl working there. She looks like olive oil, and then you look down at her forearms, and she's got Popeye forearms. It's crazy. The other thing that gets me about Cold Stone is, you know that sample spoon?
Yeah.
You guys would give out the sample spoon. One time, Anna was with me, and she didn't realize that the sample spoons went into that silver thing that was the trash can.
Oh, and she grabbed one.
She grabbed one and used the spoon out of there. And I was like, what are you doing? That's somebody's spoon. That's disgusting.
That happens more often than you'd think.
Yeah, we laugh about it now every time we see that little jar. All right, this is not supposed to be a Cold Stone segment. Preem, let's talk recruiting. Who's splashy in the Pac-12 today? USC, is it fair to say that they're winning the day?
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's really comical on signing day for me and fun and entertaining because you get a better workout following signing day than going into your spin class because everybody wins. USC lost a U.S. Army All-American defensive tackle to Washington yesterday. But the spin was that opened up a spot for them to steal Lamar Winston from Oregon from Central Catholic, which happened yesterday. And gave them then the room to also bring in two receivers if they wanted to, if they could get them. And that was Devin Williams, who was going to go to Oregon two weeks ago. He committed to USC over the Ducks today. And then they were trying to get Michael Ezeki, who was also a one-time Oregon commit, to commit. He went to UCLA, but USC's cleaned up. They've landed a star linebacker today, a five-star. They've landed Elijah Griffin, a five-star defensive back. They're in on a couple other prospects that are still on the board that are high-profile guys from Southern California that are probably going to go there as well. They have once again, you know, they finish strong every year, and this is just another example of that, of how they kind of choose who they want, and the rest of the Pac-12 figures out, okay, now what do we do?
Is that always how it's been, or is do you see that they're getting a little sharper, maybe back towards the Pete Carroll era USC teams?
I would say historically it's always been that way. Now there's been some years where, you know, Oregon has been able to go out and get guys, you know, to not go there, like an Eric Armstead or DeAnthony Thomas. But for by and large, for the most part, it doesn't matter who the head coach is at USC. The school recruits itself, and as long as you're competent and as long as you've got some young assistants that are personable and exciting and you win 9 games a year, you're going to bring in star recruits every year.
Matt Preem is with us, 24/7 Sports. Chip Kelly, he do anything of interest today?
Oh, he got a Michael Ezeki, which was a 4-star tight end, you know, receiver hybrid type guy. Oregon really wanted him. Oregon had him committed under Willie Taggart. And the Ducks thought, you know, a week and a half ago, it was a done deal and that they'd, you know, done enough to keep his commitment and to lock everything up and have Ezeki sign with the Ducks today. That obviously didn't happen, and that was a big deal. He was able to go out and keep Dorian Thompson-Robinson, a quarterback from Bishop Gorman High School, a dual-threat guy. That, you know, that's probably going to be at least my, you know, somewhat educated guess, because I don't, you know, super follow UCLA daily like I do for Oregon. But I would think he's probably going to be the front runner going into the fall camp to be the starting quarterback. He was able to keep him. Chip recruits to his system. He doesn't necessarily go out and say, we want all the 5-star guys. He's going to go out and find a guy that's, you know, hey, this guy runs this type of a 40. He's got this type of a measurables. We think we can develop him into a guy that's going to be pretty good in 2 or 3 years.
We're talking to Matt Preem, 24/7 Sports, about recruiting. You mentioned the Ducks losing a player. In the end, everybody's going to declare victory. How do you sort through what Oregon did, and how do you grade them on a day like today?
Yeah, look, you look at today only, it's not a good day because they lost a lot of guys. I think they're going to get Penei Sewell, an offensive tackle, the best player from Utah. He commits in about 7 to 10 minutes. I think he goes to Oregon. But overall, today only is not a good day for Oregon football. But if you look at where Oregon is at for the 2018 class as a whole, they've done a really good job. Because let's look at this. They are 11-15 in the last 2 years. They've had 3 head coaches in the last 15 years. They're going to finish with guaranteed a top 20 class. And yet, if they can sneak in a couple guys, they've still got a legit chance at getting either the best recruiting class in program history or finishing really close to that. And you look at what they've done, what we've seen their last time they played a football game in Vegas, and they were able to accomplish all of this, that's still pretty good. It's not an elite class, but at the same time, I think it's a class stacked on the last year's group that is taking that step in the right direction to getting Oregon back to having the depth, having the talent at the starting positions, having the exciting players at skill spots to be able to win and to be able to compete for a conference championship. Because the last 2 or 3 years, they didn't have that depth, and they didn't have that talent at every position that was starting. They're starting to get closer to that. They're not all the way there yet, but this is another class overall that's taking that step in that right direction.
We always say things like, oh, he's a typical Oregon kid. Who's the Oregon kid under Mario Cristobal?
I think you look at a kid from Lake Oswego, Dawson Gillimo, or you look at Javon Holland or Steve Stevens, two really good safeties from the Bay Area up north, or Fresno area as well in California. Speed, Gerlamo is really big. He's really strong. He's really agile for his size, and he's probably not the highest graded guy, but he went to two Under Armour games. He went to the Under Armour All-American game, and he went to the Polynesian All-American game, and at both of those events, he was one of the better offensive linemen at those camps. And you know, he doesn't have as much notoriety as some of the big boys from SoCal and other places, but when stacked up against other players around the country that are considered the best, he did pretty well.
All right. I appreciate you, Matt Preem. I'm glad you're not scooping ice cream that you're not eating.
So am I.
All right. There he is, Matt Preem, 24/7 Sports. I had worse jobs than that. I worked, I had one day, one job I had that I quit. I'm not proud of this, but I was working as a bag boy at a grocery store in California. And it was a holiday weekend. I think it was 4th of July weekend. And the bosses were so cheap, they didn't want to pay everybody double time that they had to pay for the holiday weekend. So they had me, the only bagger was me. It was 105 degrees. And I was running around all day, and I was towards the end of my shift, and there were no carts left. And they said, hey, can you go out to the parking lot and round up all the carts? And I jogged out to the parking lot, and it hit me. A cool breeze hit me as I ran out into the parking lot. I took off my apron. I put it in one of the carts. I got in my car, and I went home. My boss called me when I got home. He says, I think you accidentally left. And I said, it was no accident. I'm not made for this. Thank you for the opportunity. I never even picked up my paycheck. I worked for free, but I was out. I'm not saying you should quit. You shouldn't quit. Leave it here. You're listening to The Bald-Faced Truth on the BFT Radio Network.
I want you all to listen up. This is important stuff, all right?
Okay. Here we go.
The Bald-Faced Truth.
Call 503-417-7575 or 877-733-0750 or text to 64636.
Here we go in 3, 2.
Now, from the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, here's John Canzano with a Bald-Faced Truth. Brought to you by High Caliber Millwrights. In need of getting your plant or machinery job done right the first time and on time? Then call High Caliber today.
Little news out of Southern California. According to the LA Times, USC has signed Clay Helton to a contract extension. National signing day. Clay Helton. You signed. He was 11-3, won the Pac-12 championship, won the championship game. And by the way, he lost three of the first four games last year and then beat Penn State in the Rose Bowl. The only coach in Trojans history to win 10 games in his first two seasons. So there he is, getting his extension on National Signing Day. And don't think that's coincidental, is it? Like, coincidentally, no. The guy produced, won the bowl games, won the season, won the offseason. USC's scary. It's always been like, if they ever got it together, look out. Because we could talk around the conference, right? You could talk about UCLA in powder blue, and you could talk about Arizona State and go, why isn't Arizona State better? Every year we expect them to be better. Look at the beautiful weather they have. Look at the population that they have, the proximity that they're in Phoenix, and they can get to California and draw kids out of there. And all that aside, USC has got it built in. I mean, it just produces, and you've got talent, and the kids want to play there. And Chip Kelly, like, we all have wanted to hand Chip Kelly the baton and be like, he's going to own L.A. He didn't today. USC did what USC does. And USC, which is coming off those back-to-back 10-plus win seasons under Clay Helton in a conference championship, in their conference title game victory, all of a sudden, you look at at USC and you're like, they're back. Or did you already say that last year? If you had any doubts about USC being back, they're back, and Clay Helton's got an extension that takes him through 2023. And that's what the kids like to see. They like to see 5 years. I like to see the coach committed for 5 years if I'm a player. That's what the coaches say. So they can get the 5-year deals and the rolling extensions. It's all about job security, because you know what? Like radio show hosts, football coaches know how it ends. It ends with them getting fired. Very few Bear Bryants out there. Like, Nick Saban will call his shot. But for this radio show host and for most college football coaches, you know it ends with you holding a cardboard box at some point. It's just a matter of how long can you hold them off. By the way, a couple things going on of note that I want to talk about. A week from Friday, this host, as mentioned before, will be hosting Dan Patrick's national radio program. Patrick's on vacation or something. Do we know what he's doing, Gliss? Is he in the Olympics, or what is he doing?
That was actually my thought. I actually looked it up this morning. He is not doing the Olympics this year, so he must just be taking a vacation after the Super Bowl.
Taking a vacation. Friday, February 16th, so a week from this Friday, Dan Patrick. Of course, is that President's Day weekend?
Yes, it is.
Something?
Yeah, I believe we have Monday off.
Yeah, so he must be just taking a long weekend.
Yeah, probably.
All right, so they've asked us to host. We're going to host. We're going to book it like it's a national show. We're going to do a national show, and I will be on for 6 hours that day, and I'll be happy about it. I'll be getting up early that day. We all will. Getting up early. Droz, you coming down here?
Sure, I'll be here.
Come on down. Alabama Adriana, you coming on down here?
Do I have to?
And also, did I hear this correctly that I was talking about there being an extra pair of shoes in the gym yesterday on the floor. Did you also go to the gym yesterday and have a footwear issue?
I don't know. I can't remember what day it was, but I could have used that pair of shoes because I forgot to bring mine. I was wearing combat boots and I opened my gym bag and there was no tennis shoes in there. So I had some things, they're called studio shoes by Adidas, and they're kind of like, they're pretty much like yoga shoes, and I use them in the studio, but I've never used them on the floor before.
Yeah.
So it was kind of an interesting experience to be walking around basically barefoot. I mean, it covers your foot, but your toes are all exposed.
You gotta watch out. You don't want to drop weights on those.
I was thinking more of like the bacterial side of things, but I definitely went home and scrubbed my feet. Don't worry.
There's a guy who works out downtown at the 24-Hour Fitness who works out barefoot.
I just think that that's a little odd. I don't know.
He's groovy. He's hippie. Yeah. He's hippie. He's all bearded up. He looks like he should be in downtown Santa Cruz.
Yeah, I mean, it really didn't feel too bad. I actually kind of liked it, but it was like the sharing of the gym floor, how often do they clean it? Like the machines, how often do they clean them? You know, it was just kind of that to me.
Did anybody say anything to you? Did they go, hey, nice ballet shoes? Or what did they?
No one said anything. I asked the guy at the front desk placed if that would be okay. And he said he wouldn't say anything. So whatever.
He probably would say something if it was me.
I don't know. Maybe.
He probably would. He'd look down at my feet and be like, dude, take those somewhere else. The guy in the downtown gym, I think he does it not because he forgot his shoes, but I think he likes the feel. Because, like, there is a connection that you have when you're lifting weights. Like, when you hold, I like the grip of the, like, some things that I grab, like the weights, the barbells or the dumbbells, I like how they feel in my hand. So I have to think that the dude who's doing it downtown, he didn't forget his shoes. He must like the way the floor feels, because he squats, which I think is insane. He's got like the barbell with 45-pound plates on the sides, and he's doing like legitimate squats. Like if he drops that thing on his piggies, he's in trouble. And then he just walks around there and he's barefooted. And I'm like, man, it's like he should be sitting Indian style somewhere in the corner, you know?
Yeah.
Crisscross, applesauce.
Yeah, well, they make these shoes. They're called Five Fingers, and they have the toes all, like, individual.
Yeah.
It's basically to simulate, like, you running barefoot.
Yeah, I have had a pair of those.
Yeah, I've never worn them, but I'm thinking it would be basically the same thing that I had, just without the toes.
Rob Gronkowski in the news today. What's with the 911 call in Gronk? Anytime we get a 911 call, I like playing it because I just like the sound of it. But apparently Gronk's house got robbed. Here's the call.
911 line quoted. Where is your emergency?
Hello. This is an emergency. This is Rob Gronkowski calling. And while I was gone, my whole house got robbed. While on the Super Bowl trip.
Just wanted to confirm the reports that Mr. Gronkowski was the victim of a residential burglary last night. Whether you're Rob Gronkowski or Bill Baker, being a victim of a residential property crime like that is unpleasant. So out of respect for Mr. Gronkowski's privacy, And because this is an active and dynamic criminal investigation, we're not going to be releasing any information right now about what was stolen or whether any suspects exist. It was while he was away. We're not going to release the details of what we know about the time and day that the incident occurred. There were items stolen, which is routine as a part of a, you know, residential burglary. But again, we're not going to release the nature of the items stolen at this point.
According to the police report, they broke into the house through a window. They raided several rooms. His bedroom door had a lock on it. So whatever was in Gronk's, you know, safe room, they didn't get. But he has two roommates, and both of their rooms were raided. And look, here's the bottom line with this kind of stuff. It's why we have, like, high-tech security at our house, in part. And we have cameras, and we have a security system, and monitored, and at different times because of different threats. Like, if I'm not saying Rob Gronkowski and myself are the same, but... it's an unsettling feeling when you know, like, you're on radio at a certain time and that, you know, or if I tell people, hey, I'm going on vacation, I say that on air, that you know I'm on vacation. So it's why, like, we've hired security in prior years and said, hey, we're on vacation. Can you patrol here and can you be there? And we have the video cameras and the security system and all that stuff in place because I'm going to guess Rob Gronkowski didn't have a security system or cameras. Because if he did, he'd have known he was getting robbed. Hell, I know when the 11-year-old gets home from school. I'll be on the radio and boom, it's on my phone right in front of me. And it's probably more information. Like, I'm building a little project in my garage right now. And my wife over the weekend, I told her, I said, you get a real kick if you check out the cameras because you're going to be watching me construct this thing in futility. And she's like, yeah, I know what you're up to in there. It's an unsettling feeling. But at the same time, if you are anybody, like, I just think regular people, like, you know, I talk about security all the time. I think that for what security costs you today, the peace of mind that you have and the idea that you can protect your home is invaluable. My brother, they had a home burglary at his house in California. And it was incredibly unsettling because their kid... Their now 14-year-old comes home from school before they do. And so they had this feeling like, okay, what if the kid had come home and encountered the burglary in progress? So they went high tech with all their security. We do it. I mean, I can look in right now. I can see all the house. I can see the surrounding neighborhood. I can see the driveway. I know which doors open and close. I know who's there and what. And anybody's coming and going. There's a package on the doorstep. I know when it's delivered. And you might think, hey, that's a lot of information. I don't know if I want to have that or what. I look at this Gronk thing. Correct me if I'm wrong. In today's world, like, does that surprise you that Gronk didn't realize his house was burglarized until he got home? Like, to me, that's like, shouldn't he have known that something was not right there? They raided several rooms. And, like, I think there are a lot of people listening to the show who probably go, you know what? I would have known the minute that window was broken. Or I would have known even before then, I would have got an alert. If somebody approached the house, I would have got an alert. So I think good security is good to have. And I didn't mean for this to turn into a security segment. And I'm not shilling for security here. I'm telling you, like, if you're Rob Gronkowski, why in the hell would you not have that? And these guys are such targets with the wealth that they have and the fact that everybody in America could turn on the TV and know that Rob Gronkowski was not home during the Super Bowl. I think that's a tremendous disadvantage for him to be at. Jonathan Smith is Oregon State's head football coach. He's going to be joining us coming up. The Beavers coach is going to tell us who is a Beavers player and how did he do today on National Signing Day. Leave it here.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.